All right, everybody, we're going to get started here. Calls are starting to roll in, questions as well, but if you press 1 on your phone right now, I promise we'll get to you. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all you want to talk about, the longer you wait, the harder it is to get through, but if you press 1 right now, I promise we'll get to you. We're going to get started. Right now, so here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Hufford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, building a fleet, you name it. We'll talk about it here on this show. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give me a call. We're going to get to those calls in just a little bit. I want to be the nagging voice of your conscience again. It's that time of year. This is the time of year to get a lot of things done. Start by looking back over this past year. What worked for you? What didn't work for you? What did you accomplish? What did you hope to accomplish but didn't get to? Just get some things in writing. There's a lot of things, though. Get your accounting caught up before the end of the year so you can still make decisions. That's a big one. Get the accounting taken care of. If you're one of those owner-operators or drivers who is always waiting till the last minute and then throwing your tax return together and hoping your tax preparer pulls out a miracle, don't do that. Get your accounting done now. Be ready as soon as the year ends and know what kind of things you could do to lower your tax now. If you need any help with that, give us a call. We have plans for everybody. This is also a great time to start about what you want to accomplish next year and start getting those plans in writing. Having plans in your head really doesn't count, and it doesn't work. Get it in writing. You'll be amazed how many things will change when you start writing things down, having a plan, setting goals, looking at them. The more you look at them, the more successful you're going to be at accomplishing them. This is also time of year you really need to be getting your truck ready for winter. If you go to our website, I have a maintenance checklist you can download free. It's a great resource. Not only just going into winter, but it's a quarterly checklist that I went through on my trucks, and I think you'll find that that will help as well. That's free. Just go to the website. It's letstruck.com. All right. I'm going to get to some phone calls. Let's start off in Ohio today. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. What can I help you with today?
I got a question about the ketogenic diet. Breakfast, I don't drink coffee, but is there something I can substitute instead of, I heard you say, you know, you drink a couple cups of the Bulletproof coffee. Would like oatmeal be good,
yeah,
or is that eggs, oatmeal and eggs, or yogurt, something like that along those lines?
Eggs are good. Skip the oatmeal. The oatmeal is just loaded with carbs, and then normally it doesn't taste very good, so we have to add more sugar to it or flavoring. So, yeah, not oatmeal. Eggs are excellent. Any breakfast meat, bacon, sausage, ham, those are all good. Put butter on your eggs, cheese in your eggs. Yogurt, you know, yogurt should be a good food for us, but 99% of the yogurt on the market is just garbage. It's very high in sugar. It's low quality milk. If you're willing to look for, you know, really good grass-fed organic yogurt that's low in sugar, then that would be a good food as well. It's just don't think because it's yogurt that it's good. Most yogurt is just loaded with, like I say, sugars, carbs. It's not very high quality. So the other thing to think about, and I know this will help people a lot, you don't have to eat breakfast food for breakfast. Eat any food you want. I mean, I've been doing that most of my life. I'll eat the same thing for breakfast that I might eat for dinner and lunch. That way you don't feel so restricted. We don't have to eat just breakfast food. So any good ketogenic meal, and maybe it doesn't have to be elaborate and prepared either. You could have a breakfast of, you know, slices of summer sausage, slices of good quality whole fat cheese. You know, you can spread a little butter on those, a little mayonnaise, eat some pickled vegetables, something like a kimchi or a real pickle. That's some days I eat a couple hard-boiled eggs and a tin of sardines and some kimchi. Sounds like a crazy breakfast, but it really is very healthy and very ketogenic.
What about, now I'm allergic to peanuts and any type of nuts. So, like,
okay.
Is there a substitute for a snack? Because, you know, I can't eat, like, peanut butter, almonds. I can't do none of that.
You know, that makes it a little more difficult, not impossible, because nuts are one of the really good snack foods when you're ketogenic, because they're a whole real food, they're high in fat, they've got some, you know, other stuff that's good for us. But if you can't do those, how about seeds? I would think you'd be okay with seeds, like pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, things like that.
I've never tried them, but I mean, I could always try.
Try those, because they're a good ketogenic snack as well, because they're high in fat, they're high in nutrients, they are usually salted, so we're getting some good salt. And again, get the best quality you can, sea salt rather than, you know, iodized salt. So try nuts. Try, you know, if you like vegetables with high fat, low carb dips. Like if you, you know, get some good, if you like butter on vegetables, you could do something like that. You could do, you know, cold vegetables with a dip. Again, the summer sausages, cheeses, you know, cured meats, things like that are going to be your best bet for snacks.
Is fruit, is it bad because of all the sugar that's in there? You know, even the natural fruit, you know, like apples and bananas, is that good or no?
You know, fruit is good for us. The problem is it is really, really high in sugar, especially the fruit we get at the store today. It's been hybridized and it's sweeter than it ever used to be. So you really want to watch your consumption of fruit if you're trying to stay ketogenic. So even an apple, it really should only be like a half an apple at a time. Bananas are so high in sugar, I just try to stay away from them completely. But if you were going to eat a banana, eat half of a small banana. So fruit's okay, but keep the consumption way, way down. Small amounts and not a lot each day.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's head off to Georgia. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. You should have my profit and my fuel gauge report in front of you. I just wanted you to take a look at them and see what you think. And while you are looking over it, I was listening to the show on yesterday, you know, and you were saying about that niche that will give you a boost, you know, a boost in your being productive. And
yeah.
My story is I've been with Landstar a little over 5 months, going over 6 months, you know, coming out of a bad lease purchase program. As you can see in my fuel gauges, you will be able to see that. But my point is that since I've been with Landstar, you know, my niche is that I always call the brokers and say, hey, I'm going to, my ETA is this. And once I get there, you know, and get loaded, I call them and say, hey, I got loaded. And I go a step beyond that. I also email them a copy of the bill of lading. And once I get delivered, I also email them a copy of the signed bill of lading. And because of me doing that, you know, a lot of brokers tell me, said that, you know, I wish that all of the drivers would do this. And because of me doing this, it caused me to set up a dedicated run from Fort Worth to Atlanta back and forth every week. And, you know, we're averaging around $2.42 a mile just by doing that. The broker said that he appreciate that, and that really caused me to excel in the business in that area.
Well, and that is exactly what I was talking about yesterday on the show, so I'm glad you brought that up. And what I talked about was not being a commodity. If when you're talking about Landstar agents, they have 10,000 BCOs at Landstar to pick from, and that they can start looking the same. But you did something different. You set yourself apart, and you provided more value to your customer, who is the agent. You're doing a job for them. They're paying you. They are your customer, and you treated them that way. And you provided more value, and now you're seeing the benefit. So congratulations on that. Also, congratulations on having your profit gauges up to date. We have numbers we can look at. So I'm going to get to a break. We're going to come back and talk about the changes you've made and how it's working. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. Before the break, I was talking with Steve in Georgia. We're going to go over a business report from Profit Gauges. Steve, again, congratulations. And tell me again, when I'm looking at a report January through November, when did you switch to Landstar?
Around June, about around the 1st of June, somewhere along in there.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of these numbers for the year, because you were in the lease purchase for the first 6 months, are really skewed, but there's a clear difference from when you were in the lease purchase and what you're doing now. So that this was a great move for you. Honestly, in the lease purchase, you were going to go broke. I mean, the gross revenue wasn't very much. The net revenue was almost non-existent. I'm glad you made the change. And the good news was, while you were in the lease purchase, you were doing a pretty good job of controlling your expenses. You just didn't have enough revenue coming in. So,
right.
You know, there's two things that have to happen. We have to have enough revenue to work with, and then we control our expenses and we get to keep more. You were doing a good job on half that. The expenses, they're just in that program, there just wasn't enough revenue to work with. Now that you're at Landstar and the revenue has gone through the roof compared to what you were making, and you're still keeping expenses down, so, you know, this business report for this year is not very exciting, but when we look at the most recent months, I think next year is going to be a great year for you.
Okay, I guess what I was asking is, I just continue to keep doing the things that I'm doing within the last 6 months, and Yeah. And I should get the same results?
Absolutely, yeah. Once you made this change, then all the numbers got better, and now it's just a matter of time. And I love the things you're doing, building the relationships with the agents, tracking your numbers. Like I say, 2015 was a big year for you to learn and change and grow, and I think 2016 you're going to see the rewards.
Okay, I do appreciate it. You know, and like I said, that lease program, I tell you, it was tough to get through it, but because of, you know, listening to the things that you give us and the advice and knowing my numbers, that really caused me to get through this lease program. And after I got through the lease program, you know, even though I'm with Landstar, I didn't run as hard or as much being up under the lease program. But, and you know, after January, somewhere along in there, I plan to hit it back hard again. And so, you know, because last year I run 115,000 miles, and this year I'm just only at 72,000 miles because I just basically took the last of the year off, you know, go out, come back in, yeah, and stay 2 or 3 days. And that's basically what I did. But, Kevin, I do appreciate everything and appreciate your advice, and I'll be calling in, checking on you later on down the line.
Excellent. Great to hear from you. And again, congratulations. This is the way I'd love to see people do things. Put in the hard work, even in a very difficult program. He succeeded. He knows his numbers. He's watching his expenses. Now all of that hard work is really going to start paying off. The revenue at Landstar looks excellent. Controlling your expenses, building relationships. So absolutely love stories like that. Let's go to Salt Lake City. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. See, I just did in the last 2 days, I did all my stuff for profit gauges from basically February on till current right now. I have a question on my fuel gauges also. I'll go to the fuel gauges one first because that's on the top of my list. I put all my numbers in from the actual cost at the pump for the fuel cost. Do I have to go back and re-enter what I actually paid off my settlement?
Well, I need to know, are you syncing fuel gauges to profit gauges?
That's a good question. I'm not familiar.
Okay, so here are the two options in our program. You can use fuel gauges alone just to track fuel mileage and fuel cost. You can use profit gauges alone to track all of your accounting, and you would manually enter your fuel either from receipts or from your settlements right into profit gauges. Or you make this option in the setup, the two will work together. So you only have to enter your fuel receipts once in fuel gauges, and they sync over to profit gauges. What I would recommend, since you're not sure, is give us a call, and we will get you with Brittany, and we'll figure out which way you're doing it. If you are using them separately, and you're entering fuel receipts into fuel gauges and into profit gauges, then you don't have to correct fuel gauges. You just want to make sure your numbers are right in profit gauges. And that would just depend on where you're getting them from. If you're getting your fuel numbers from
right
your settlement.
Right off the settlement.
Okay, then you're not syncing the two programs, which is fine. That's why we give you both options. Then your fuel cost, your real fuel cost in profit gauges, where it counts, will be correct then. You shouldn't have to do anything different.
Okay, and then here's another thing. On my settlement, it shows advances, and I've been paying it back. I put that number under advances, so I didn't know if I was doing it in the right spot, because between that and I get my cash advances, they show up on my fuel receipts, but they're not separated.
Yeah.
So when I did my whole profit gauges, you should have my profit gauges there. I was just curious.
Yeah, I've got it here in front of me. So here's.
So I didn't do anything. I didn't. Go ahead.
I would recommend that you get with Brittany, and it won't take long, 10 or 15 minutes. She'll go through a couple of these issues with you and just make sure you're doing it right. But the way we can call that cash advance anything you want, you get to name, you know, your subcategories yourself. So, but the important part is what type of account we set it up in. So if you say, I want to call this cash advance off my settlement, but the type of account we would use is what's called retained earnings. So that when you take a cash advance, that doesn't really affect your accounting at all. It's just a wash. It was your money anyway. So we want it so your settlement balances, but we don't want to see cash advance on a report anywhere because it's just a useless number. It doesn't mean anything in your accounting. So
where I have it right now, I think it's considered a deduction because it's coming right directly out of the fuel. I'm putting that exact number right off the fuel.
So let me ask you this. If you have a fuel receipt, and I'm just going to use easy numbers, let's say it has $300 for fuel and $100 for cash advance. In the program, you could enter that as two line items, and that's the way it should be entered. If you were to call all of that fuel, our fuel number would be way off. But you could split that transaction and call 300 fuel and 100 cash advance as a retained earning type of account. And, again, being on the air retained and trying earning. To talk through it
okay.
And, you know.
Yep, I'm actually understanding that.
Oh, good, good. And we even have a couple videos on that, but the easy thing is call Brittany. She'll spend 10 or 15 minutes with you on the phone. It looks to me like you've probably got it right, though. Maybe not.
Okay.
You know,
Because
I was going to say, your fuel cost is actually high, and I'll bet it's because we have those cash advances in there. But the good news is it's really easy to fix, too. It won't take long at all.
Okay. When I go to fix it, though, do I have to subtract the number? Do I have to re-enter my fuel price when I take the other number out of there then, right?
Yes.
And,
yeah, we will go into
each
fuel entry, and we will split each fuel entry. But it's real quick and easy to do. And like I say, Brittany can walk you through it, show you how to do it, and we could wrap that up pretty quick. So you're 95% of the way there. Your numbers look good. I don't want to go through the numbers right now, though, because we do need to make those couple of corrections, and then we can come back, and your numbers are going to look really good once we do that, do a couple fixes there. So, again, congratulations on having your numbers done and staying up to date. So here we are at the end of the year, and you are ready for tax time. You have good numbers to run your business. Exactly why we created the program. If you want reports like this, real simple, just go to the website, letstruck.com, or call us, 855-800-FUEL, 855-800-3835. We'll get you set up with the same thing and show you how easy it is. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. We're off to Indiana. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. My question goes right into your intro about getting ready for the winter time, but
I specifically would like your advice about cold weather engine starting. I'd read 15, 20 years ago an article in Consumer Reports, or actually a book that said about, you know, how to keep a car running forever. But specifically, you know, I'm going to get the Maxwell start module. I'm going to get the AGM batteries. But once you get all that, or even before you get that, and you're going to start your engine after sitting all night without idling, how would you go about starting the engine? Because I don't even want to tell you what I was told in truck driving school. I'd really like your input on how you would bring up a diesel engine operating temperature if you know you're going to be sitting there a few minutes in the truck stop or wherever.
Okay. Okay, good question. And two things that really, really make cold weather starting so much easier. One, synthetic oil. If you have a synthetic oil in the engine, cold weather starts are so much easier and better on the engine. And the other one you mentioned, the Maxwell engine start module. With those two things, I can't imagine ever having a problem starting unless we got so cold that we had fuel gelling issues. And at that point, no matter how fast you turn the engine over, if you can't get fuel to it, it's not going to start. But between the synthetic oil and the start module, the engine is going to crank like it's summertime. Now, we just need to make sure we keep our fuel flowing, and we'll never have a problem cold starting. Cold starting isn't anything real complicated. Start the truck up and just let it idle as long as you need to. The longer you let it idle before we put that engine under any load, the better off it's going to be, within reason. Once we reach operating temperature close to it, we'll be fine. But we don't want to put a lot of load on that engine until we get it to operating temperature, which on today's trucks doesn't take long. You know, you start it up, get a couple other things done. You know, by the time you get out of your parking spot, take it easy through the truck stop, and you're not really putting a load on that engine until we accelerate, either out onto the road or up a ramp or whatever it might be. And by that time, we should have sufficient engine temperature.
So you specifically would not recommend starting your engine and then idling it up to 1,000 RPMs to achieve that operating temperature? Just let it idle.
Yeah, just let it idle. I don't see any point in bumping it up to a fast idle. It just uses more fuel, and the engine will come to operating temperature just fine at an idle.
I really appreciate it. I was just mainly trying to protect the cylinder or sleeve wear, keep that to a minimum. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And again, the number one thing I believe is for that is synthetic oil. You know, if we start talking about temperatures below zero, try an experiment one time. Stick a jug of conventional oil outside, and right next to it, stick a jug of synthetic oil. And when it gets below zero, go try pouring those two oils and watch what happens. The synthetic is amazing in the way that it pours. And that also means that it will flow much quicker up into the parts of the engine we need to get oil to. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Ken, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mr. Rutherford? How are you today?
Can I help you with?
Going back to some accounting, I've been in with Mercer for 3 months, September, October, November. Can I get Brittany to do a accounting check to make sure I'm putting all my numbers and profit gauges in the proper way?
Yes, absolutely. That's a big part of what we do, and that's what separates
and sets our
software apart. Yeah, as we've got, you know, total support. If you've got a question, because it's online, Brittany will get with you. She'll go right through your accounting. We even do screen sharing so you can see what we're doing. And we'll go through the numbers and make sure everything's getting entered correctly.
Right. And so I can send her all my 3 months, and she can kind of look at my receipts and what I'm doing and make sure I'm doing them the right way and putting them in the right place, right?
You don't really need to send the receipts. Keep those on your end. Again, she can do a screen sharing. She'll ask you some questions, and she'll look through the accounting. And this is what she does. She's really good at looking at the numbers and going, yep, that's right. Nope, this should be over here. You're probably missing some receipts here. So It's actually a pretty simple process. We'll get it done and make sure everything's right.
Okay. Because I was like the other guy. I wasn't sure on certain things if they're in the right, you know, for retained earnings or expenses and things like that, which leads me to my next question. I'm with Mercer, like I said, and I blew a steer tire. So I went and had them put two steer tires on. And got me a couple of Michelins that were the 100 rolling resistance. It was about the best they had at the time. The others were Bridgestone. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. So, but when they did it, because I put a reserve escrow into my build-up, $1,095 out of that escrow, and to put toward it, and then they financed the rest of it through Mercer's, because it's through their fleet program.
Okay.
And they've been taking it out of my settlements every settlement.
Got it.
So how do I? Because I've got a settlement here that has that initial 613 taken out, and they pull it out of the other reserve, but that's all in charges.
Right.
So how do I get the negative to go in?
Yeah, and I'll walk you through it pretty quick, but this is something that Brittany will set up for you and show you how to do it and make sure it's being done right. We have a really simple method for handling these kind of issues. And again, this is what kind of sets our software apart. Because we wrote it just for owner-operators, and we know what it's like when you're leased to a company, lots of things come out of your settlement. We have reserve accounts, maintenance accounts. Trying to set those up in other software can be really difficult unless you're an accountant. On ours, it's simple. We do it right in the settlement. We make sure you get credit for the expense. We make sure you don't get double charged. So we can do that right in the settlement. You memorize it so that each week you just look at it and say, yep, that's right, hit the button and off you go. But without getting too deep into it right now, there's a simple way to handle this, and when you talk with Brittany, she'll set it up, make sure it's right.
Okay, that'll be great. Now, in my fuel gauges aspect, for some reason, I went out to Phoenix, and I don't know if somebody stole fuel. I had a problem with a little bit of a squirting injector, which I tightened it down, but I ended up doing a 3 mile per gallon tank.
Yeah, somebody probably got some fuel. It's really unusual to ever see a truck, even under the worst conditions. We don't see fuel mileage drop off that much. So I have a feeling if you were down in the threes looking at your numbers, somebody stole fuel.
Right, because everything else is, since I've started this, I've been in the sixes most of the time, up into the mid-sevens even. Before I even started any of my, and I do a lot of heavy loads, and I'm staying right at 57 to about 61 mile an hour.
Based on your numbers, at the lowest I would ever expect to see this truck go under the worst conditions. We're talking about, a winter storm, heavy, slushy roads, cold. Just throw the worst thing we can throw at it. I would expect your truck might drop into the low fives. And that would be
right.
That would be the bottom. So when you end up in the threes, something went way wrong, and the only thing really that makes any sense is somebody got some fuel from you.
That's what I was thinking. I know it was that during that heavy windstorm that when I came through New Mexico, but it wasn't that bad, and I was heavy.
Right.
I knew it wasn't nearly that bad enough to be that. So now how do can I rechange that for, or do I just absorb it and say, oh, well, it happened, it's still my miles per gallon, because that's really affecting my 30-day and 30, 60, and 90 days.
Yeah, it does. You can leave it in there and just know that, it is affecting it, or you can just delete that receipt and not count that one since it's so far out of your average. It's up to you.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much, and I'll give
you're welcome. We'll get you set up. You're doing a great job. We'll tweak a couple things. You'll be fine. All of the back. Three callers today all caught up on their profit pages accounting. That is fantastic. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. Kevin Rutherford. All right, a quick heads up. We're heading into the fourth segment of the first hour. At the end, I'm going to say goodnight, goodbye, all that stuff. I always say at the end of the show, but don't go away because we're going to come back and do another hour. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to some phone calls. We're going to head off to New York this time. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have a question. I was listening yesterday. You mentioned that one cat from New Mexico about the $500 to invest in the Lyft of $10. Do you recommend
it? Right.
On starting a business or running a business or whatever? Did you compile that list yet?
You know, I do. I did. I actually do that, and I don't do this all the time. It was something I kind of made the offer yesterday. I have hundreds of books on my list, and I actually have one perfect 10-book list. Everybody's a little different based on where they were.
Okay.
So the offer I made to him was, if you buy the program that I recommend first, the program that I wrote about getting started, it has the audio and the video and the workbook, that if he bought that program, I would put together a personal list for him, 10 books. And,
oh.
And you know what? I'll make that offer to anybody. I have all kinds of book lists that I just make available free, but when somebody wants to get started, it's actually in the program where – based on some of the scores you get on the worksheet, I create a specific list. So that was really what I was talking about yesterday, is if he's getting started and he's willing to invest in the program, then, you know, when you're ordering the program, I just get an email and I'll put a custom list together of the 10 books I think you should be reading, because your list might be different than his.
Okay. All right. Okay, so how do you, so it would purchase that program, then turn the scores in, then the list would come?
Yeah, actually, you can purchase the program and just drop me an email. It put together a list for you, and then you can kind of match that up with as you're going through the program. And like I say, I don't make that offer all the time, but you know, this is a great time of year. I'd love to see people start planning, so I will make that offer to whoever hears this. Buy the program, drop me an email, and I'll put together a book list for you.
Okay. Well, here, I have a couple questions. I'm
sure.
Lease this truck on, it's more like a rent basis, and man, it is detuned. It's a 2015 Freightliner with a DD15 in it. Which I think is pretty fair engine, but they got it detoned and dehorned and half the transmission. And, you know, I got an 8-speed out of a 13. And I was thinking about it. I don't know if I even wanted to waste my time with profit gauges on it, but maybe I should just get the hang of it. Anyway.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons to really use profit gauges and get your numbers together. You know, the goal of most people in a lease purchase program is to eventually own a truck. I mean, I would think that's what most people want. And the lease purchase isn't the best way to do it, but it might be the best way to save more money to go buy your own truck. But the only way we know that is to do the numbers. For example, I had a guy the other day who was in a lease purchase program doing 62 cents a mile. Now, he doesn't even want the truck. He wants to go buy his own glider, his own pre-emission truck. But 62 cents a mile is a great way to get there. You know, he's not going to go make that driving somebody else's truck. So he had a good lease. He was working it right. On the other hand, I had a guy who's in a lease purchase making 17 cents a mile. I mean, he's crazy to stay in that. He needs to get out of it, go get a driving job at 35 or 40 cents a mile, and he'll save the money twice as fast.
Yeah.
So that, and then the other thing, and you mentioned this, is it's just learning how to do your accounting. Is we make it as easy as possible, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. So even if you weren't going to finish this program, get started. You know, the first month you start putting in your numbers, you're going to start learning, and you'll just get better at it over time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, practice makes perfect. Okay. All right,
yeah,
thank you, Kevin.
There you go.
I appreciate your time, man.
Thanks
for the input.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. I love the direction of the show today. We really have people doing the right stuff, doing the hard work, doing their accounting, looking at their numbers, asking questions. I absolutely love that. Let's go to Michigan. Russ, welcome to the program.
Fairfax now, Kevin.
Absolutely. What's on your mind today?
I'm looking at a 07 Freightliner Century Class, 12-7 Detroit, 13 single over, and 308 rear end.
12-7 in an 07. Is this a glider?
No. The original number and everything.
You're sure it's a 12-7, not a 14 liter?
No, it's a 12-7. Apparently, it was special ordered this way.
Yeah, because that is an unusual setup. Now, I'm going to assume though that it is a 12-7 EGR engine, right?
You know what? It says 60 series 12-7.
Okay, so the reason I'm going to be cautious on this is because something's a little odd. They did make the 12-7 in an EGR configuration, but it was late 03, early 04. I don't even think there were many of them around in the 05 model year at all. And 07. I don't know that I've ever seen one. So, but here's the thing. If this is an EGR engine, I just don't want it, period. And,
right.
And if I couldn't buy it myself, then I can't really recommend somebody else buy it. If it were some rare 07 pre-emission somehow, and there are a couple ways that could have happened, it's really rare. If this were an 07 with a pre-emission 12-7, I would be all over it. So one factor would decide whether I bought the truck or absolutely didn't buy the truck, and that's whether or not this engine is an EGR. Without that information, all I could tell you is if it is EGR, absolutely not. If it isn't, I'd be all over it.
Well, they're asking 28 for it.
If it's EGR, again, I don't care if they're asking 5,000. I wouldn't want it. But if it's non-EGR, then the 28, I would be all over it. So this really does come down to just that one factor.
All right. Well, everything that I've looked at, rig dig and everything else, maintenance has been good, no accidents, one owner, you know. That end of it is great. You know, like I said,
just let me be clear. None of that stuff would matter.
Right.
None of it
right.
matter to me at all. It just, it's a matter of whether it's an emission engine or not. Does it have EGR? If it does, I don't care. None of the other stuff would matter. If it's a non-EGR, then the other stuff is a bonus, but I would
right.
buy it even if it wasn't real clean. Or so that's how important that one factor is to me.
Right. All right, well, I'll do some more digging. And see
all
what
right.
I can come
and
up with.
Now, the drivetrain on this I love. 308s and a single overdrive 13-speed. That's a nice setup. Pretty unusual, but it works well. Love the mileage. It's just, it all comes down to that one factor. Let's, I think I can squeeze in another one. Let's go to California. Adam, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Kevin. Tax question was, when is a Bay Lorry on payroll? Is there a money amount? Is there a, you know, at what point in time?
Yeah, the only issue is do you want to be able to deduct all of your health care cost as a business expense? So health insurance, deductibles, co-pays, prescriptions, glasses, dental, all of that stuff could become a business expense, which there's a big tax benefit to doing that. You would have to put her on payroll to do it. That's really the only factor. Other than that, there's no real reason to do it. There's no benefit any other way.
Well, our insurance just went up because America's stupid. And the insurance is retarded. We just went from $1,000 to $1,500 a month.
Oh, well then, yeah, talk to, and you're using our accounting firm, talk to them about that strategy because there could be a huge savings in there for you. And that is really the only reason we would do it. Thanks for joining me. I've got to get out of here. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey of Kevin Rutherford. Good night, everyone. All right, we're going to start a second hour. Let me check on questions here real quick. Looks like we've got a lot of questions on hold, so we're going to get right to it. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is flextruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, you name it. We'll tackle it here on the show. All you have to do is pick up the phone and join me. We're going to get to those calls in a little bit. I had a call or a show earlier this week that was very encouraging. A lot of people using profit gauges had their numbers together. They're doing some year-end tax planning, and it was really making a difference. You could see it in their numbers, and I absolutely love that. Had a couple of people working through lease purchase programs, wanting to buy their own truck. They were doing the right things, asking the right questions, tracking their numbers. It just absolutely love it. So I made an offer because I love to help people who are also helping themselves. We love to help people who are doing the hard work, who are willing to invest in knowledge in order to be more successful. So I have a program that I created to help people get started as an owner-operator. It has audio, so you can listen while you're going down the road and learn. It has video you can watch from live seminars, and it has a workbook, so you physically get involved in the process. It helps you with the planning, helps you with the financial part of it, shows you how and where to get money to get started. It is a very, very extensive program. And if you follow this program, I can virtually guarantee you're going to succeed. But I made an offer the other day, and I'll go ahead and extend this. And I don't make this offer very often because it actually creates a lot of work for me. But this is the time of year I'd love people to see people doing their planning, really doing the hard work. And again, I'll help you if you're willing to help yourself. So if you buy that program, you can get it in our store, letstruck.com/store. You can call us. I'll give you a phone number here in a little bit, so grab something to write with. If you order this program, and it's $247, I'll tell you right up front, it's an investment in your business. If you can't afford or you're not willing to spend $247, I can tell you you're going to struggle. This is a tiny, tiny price to pay. It will save you 10 or 15 or 20 times that amount in getting started. So if you're willing to invest in that program and do the hard work, I'll join you and I'll help you and order the program and then drop us an email, and I will put together a list for you of the 10 books you should be listening to help you get started. I made that offer to somebody on the air the other day specifically, but I'll throw it out there in general. So let me help you get started. I also have an ebook that's going to be out very, very shortly. It is, you're going to get an ebook and audio, and it is the 6 biggest mistakes to avoid when you're getting started. So I'm working this into an entire program from start to finish. You can get the free ebook and audio, tells you what mistakes not to make program, and that shows you step-by-step what you should be doing. First, for free, I'll show you what you shouldn't be doing. Then, by the program, it will help you step-by-step getting started. And then the third step that will push you right over the top and guarantee your success is sign up for Lane 1 of the CMC. That is coming up in May. We're going to be in Council Bluffs, and Lane 1 is specifically designed for people who want to get started. You don't have a truck yet, and I will spend an entire week with you working through your business plan, working through your budget, working through every single detail. And you'll have full access to me all week to ask questions. I will help you do the hard work. Now, 3 steps. If you follow all 3 of these, I absolutely guarantee you are going to succeed. No question in my mind. So check that out. Order the program now. I'll put together a book list for you. I have the ebook coming out shortly. We'll let you know details on that. And if you're on our email list, we'll send it out that way as well. All right. I want to get to some phone calls. Let's get started today in Minnesota. Karen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. And I'm supposed to ask you, who's better on the balance board, you, Lisa, or Diesel?
I think Lisa probably wins. She gets a little crazy on it, though. See, I'm doing a show. I can't be, you know, spinning around and doing tricks. Every time Lisa gets on there, she shows off.
Okay. We have an issue with Rand McNally. And I don't know if you have a contact there that we can contact, but they are just, in my opinion, crazy there, okay? When you have when you pay the high dollar that we pay for a GPS, and then when you have an issue with it, their whole response is mail it to us and we'll fix it. But it's going to cost you $100 when you mail it to us, for starters, okay, to fix it, and then you're going to be 4 to 6 weeks without it.
Yeah, and I have not been happy with this from the very start. And this goes back to before they had the tablet. Now, luckily, I have not had a single problem with my tablet, so I haven't had to deal with this. They're old GPSs. I went on many, many rants about the quality, the customer service. I was not happy at all. That's why the tablet was such a big upgrade, in my opinion. We have some contacts. It just they haven't done any good in the past. You know, unfortunately, okay. When you deal with some of these big companies and they have their policies and procedures in place and nobody is allowed to think, you know, you just do it this way, and that kind of drives me nuts. We put our software on the device. We support the device. I love mine, but we are not necessarily exclusive to Rand McNally. I still run a Garmin. We would like to do some things with Garmin as well. I've tested both. I don't feel completely comfortable being exclusive to Rand McNally. I wanted to be, but the customer service issues concern me.
Well, and I understand truckers survived before GPSs, okay? But once you've had one and gotten used to it and grown accustomed to it, it's kind of like a microwave. You just can't live without it anymore.
You know, I agree, and more so even with my tablet, my Rand McNally tablet, because I use it for so many things. I use it for GPS.
Right.
I use it for fuel gauges because it's right on there. I use it to listen to e-books or audiobooks because, you know, I have it all tied into my audio system in the truck, and I absolutely loved it. So, yeah, if mine went down, I would not be happy.
I mean, and when you only have it for a year, I mean, I have cell phones that last longer than a year, okay? And I pay high dollar for
right.
my cell phones also. Okay?
Right.
And I get better customer service with my cell phones than I am right now with Rand McNally. And to send them another $100 and be 4 to 6 weeks without my device, and it would probably
yeah.
be longer because we're out on the road 2 to 3 months at a time.
Right. So arranging where to get it,
is,
all of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. So my thing is I guess I just have to... It's just cheaper for me and less stressful to buy another GPS and spend, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't want to keep spending $400 or $500 every year on something.
No.
Because
no,
shippers nowadays
no.
don't want you calling them, really, and asking for directions much anymore. Believe me. They kind of get irritated
well,
at it.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, one of the other options, and trust me, it shouldn't have to come to this. And again, this is why we're not exclusive with Rand McNally. We have our software on there. People love having access to fuel gauges right on their device. We will continue to support that. But here's another option. If you are considering, and it sounds like you are, spending the money to just buy another one, I would think about buying the other one. You are already considering it anyway. And paying the $100 to get this one fixed, and then you'd always have a backup. Now, I'm not saying you should have to do that. I agree, you shouldn't have to. But sometimes
right.
we look at the real world and say, yeah, even if I shouldn't have to do this, it's going to benefit me. That might be a way to look at this that you'd never be without one. You'd have a backup. Not the best solution, but it is a solution. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Robinson. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. I'm going to get right back to some phone calls. We're off to North Carolina. Stuart, welcome to the program.
Fair tax yesterday there, Kevin.
Absolutely. What's on your mind today?
I got a real quick solution there for Kevin out in, or excuse me, Karen out in Minnesota. If it's a hardware issue, because I went through this with them, Kevin, and they're crazy is what they are. I went and bought a backup Garmin. I was so mad at them, and I found out that if it's a hardware issue, you need to get the number off of the back of it and find out who the actual tablet portion of it was made by. If it's a hardware issue now, like mine, they made three different styles of it or something like that, and I sent mine back, and it was Asus, and sent it to Asus, and they repaired the tablet portion of it. But if it's a proprietary thing, the stand or the little thing behind it, the slice, I think they call it, you're kind of out of luck. But you can send it back to the actual manufacturer of the head unit portion of it.
Got it.
And they will honor some sort of a warranty, and they actually fixed it for free to me and sent it back.
Oh, perfect. Well, that's helpful. Thanks.
Yes, sir. I've got a keto question, and it's kind of almost embarrassing. Things aren't moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fairly common. How long have you been keto adapted?
I've been, what killed me, Kevin, was I went on Thanksgiving holiday at Grandma's.
Okay.
So, but even then, it was maybe twice a week.
Okay. Yeah, and
I've always had a
fairly
slow metabolism.
It shouldn't be anymore. When we get the keto diet right, especially, you know, we call it keto, and I don't want to confuse this or complicate it. I really believe in a combination of keto and paleo. And the difference is, when we say keto, all we're talking about is getting the balance of macronutrients right. You know, poor fat, little bit of protein, very, very low carb. Well, we could do that and still be eating some really lousy food. You know, you can eat really poor quality and still be ketogenic, get a lot of the benefits, but you're going to suffer some other issues. If we throw in the paleo part, which is all about eating whole, real food as close to its natural source as possible, you know, grass-fed butters, grass-fed and pastured animals, if no processed food, if we do that, then we're going to see more health benefits. But the other thing is, when it comes to digestion, there are a couple things we can do. If you've got your mineral balance off and out of whack, which is fairly common in the beginning of a keto diet, that's the first thing to get back. Drink some good clean water and even put some sea salt in it. Put some sea salt and a little bit of lime or lemon, and it will really quench your thirst, and it will help keep your salt levels correct. Balance that with potassium and magnesium. And one of the best sources of that that's a good keto food are avocados. So eat an avocado a day because you're going to get – and put salt and lime on it, and you're going to get your sodium, your potassium, your magnesium, and the fiber – that's in there, so that's an excellent thing to add. Are you eating nuts? Are you snacking on nuts quite a bit?
No, absolutely not.
You might want to add.
I will mention, and this is something I just threw at it kind of experimentally. In the last 3 days, I've taken myself off of all milks and all cheeses. I don't know if that will help at all.
If it does, and it could, it very well could. If it does, then you know that you are lactose intolerant. There, people get confused. Some people are actually allergic to dairy products, and some people are intolerant of dairy products. Those are two totally different things, though. One is caused by the proteins in milk. The other is caused by the sugars in milk. So if you are lactose intolerant, which a very large percentage of the adult population is, then absolutely taking the dairy out will help. I would add in some nuts, macadamia nuts especially. I know they're expensive, but they are really good. Almonds, walnuts, those would be my top three, and those will help as well. Are you doing coconut oil?
No, man, I hate the taste of coconut. I really do.
Okay, so how about butter?
Yeah, I'm doing the Kerrygold. Now I'm getting getting the kind in the gold package. I don't know if that makes a difference. I saw a silver package one. I'm getting the gold.
Yeah, but I don't remember which one's which. It might be one might be salted, one might be unsalted, and it really doesn't make much difference. So if you can't do the coconut oil, that absolutely helps. But watch the dairy. I would add nuts to your snacking every day. And I would add an avocado every day. Make sure you're getting plenty of water. The other thing you can do, and I know it's hard on the road to actually take a bath, but get something that you could soak your feet and your lower legs in and buy some Epsom salts. And it's really relaxing. It will help with the magnesium levels in your body because we can absorb magnesium right through our skin. But if you get the salt, potassium, and magnesium right, get rid of the dairy if that is causing you a problem, and you'll know that here pretty quick. Add in some nuts. This is going to go away.
10-4. I appreciate it, Kevin.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Yeah, pretty common and also fairly straightforward to fix. So good question. Let's see. Let's head off to Florida. Ray, welcome to the program.
Hello. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I don't mind spending 2 months or greater in the truck. But this truck just stinks. I don't think anybody vomited or anything. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anybody vomited or anything like that. But every time I get in, it just smells like that naugahyde, you know, the interior. Pretty much like all trucks smell.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to figure out how to make this thing more tolerable to live in, if you will. I've stayed in RVs, and I've never really had any kind of problem, but I just don't like the smell. And it's
okay.
Only
so there,
a 10-year-old truck. So.
There are a couple things you can do. You know, one of the products that's on the market that I don't think they've done a really good job of explaining the difference is Febreze. You know, we've had air fresheners around forever, but air fresheners, yeah, all they really do is they're a bunch of chemical scents that try to cover up the offending odor, and you get mixed results. What is very, very different about Febreze, I just don't think they do a very good job of making that clear, is Febreze was a pretty major breakthrough in odor elimination. It's a very different product than air fresheners because it does attack the source of the odor itself and neutralize it. Well, in the beginning, they found out that people weren't very happy with that. They would spray Febreze and the odor would go away, but they couldn't smell anything, so they didn't seem to think it was effective. So they started putting scents into Febreze so people could smell something pleasant. But now I think everybody thinks it's just another cover-up. It's really not. So I would start with Febreze. And I would actually start with, they have a max version. I forget what they call it. But it's super odor eliminating and it doesn't have a scent. And I would start with that and see if that eliminates the scent. If not, most hardware stores carry some products that come in jars and they're odor absorbers. So you open up the jar, you leave it sit in the space, and it will absorb the odors that are building up in there. So one of those two things or both, and that should take care of this.
Okay, thank you. I'll go ahead and try that and give you a ring back.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Stick around. I've got to get to a break. We'll be right back with more stuff. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get right back to some phone calls. We're going to head off to New Jersey this time. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. What can I help you with?
Well, I started driving about 3 years ago after the real estate crunch. A lot of people went out of business during that time, and I guess at an older age, sometimes you have to refine yourself. So I went to a company that had a pretty good training program and went into a lease with them right off the bat. About a year or so later, I started training for them. And my second year, I did about $70,000 for them. So it's been a good process, a learning process. It's been financially rewarding, too. I'm ready to move on to the next step of getting my own truck. And I'm going back home to Florida for the holidays, and I've been researching the market down there for pre-EGR trucks program some time back. I even play it for a lot of my students whenever I'm training
them. Oh, good.
And we're going down the road.
Good, thank you.
I try to follow it. My score isn't that great on your index. I'm doing about an 8 because I'm 58 years old. And I lost everything I had, like I said, in the real estate crunch. But I've got a net worth right now of about $60,000 that I've built back up over the couple years.
Good.
And so I'm saving 2/3 of my income. I'm living off less than $20,000 a year. So
that really makes a big difference in two ways. One, you have some cash available now, and two, when you make the transition, you don't need to make a tremendous amount of money because you're surviving on a lot less. Now, we always want to make more, but it's nice to have that cushion. So congratulations, you really put yourself in a better position here.
Yeah, thank you. And it makes me feel a lot better going through your program. I can see that. I got quite a business background. Also, I've been to Tom Hopkins School of Sales, DuPont School of Sales. I used to be a fertilizer salesman for about 10 years. So I've got my foot in the door in that. On the business end, I used to be a production and general manager of a $25 million corporation at a very early age. So, and I've had a number of businesses in the past. Like I said, just really when you get to be older and you lose everything and you're starting from scratch, it's a lot tougher. But I don't want to make any mistakes. And that's why I really liked your program. It was in order. It's right spot on. And the questions that I have right now, because in January I'm looking at, first of January I'm looking at purchasing a truck, is the gear ratio, the type motor. I mean, there seems to be a lot more Freightliners on the market in that era,
right,
they're aerodynamic, than Kenworths or Peterbilts or anything else. What kind of gear ratio and engine setup do you recommend?
Okay, so first of all, just a quick explanation. You're always going to find more Freightliners in virtually every year because Freightliner outsells everybody else. So every year, if you look at new truck sales, Freightliner outsells everybody. So it's just, you know, logical that they're going to have more on the used market. Again, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Freightliner, not my favorite quality in some of the older trucks. I really like the Cascadia. And if I had to pick a new engine, it would be a DD15. But if we go back pre-emission, your odds of finding a Freightliner the way we want it are much higher than any other truck. And it's a good starter truck. So engine-wise, okay, I've always been very, very partial to the Series 60 Detroit, which I absolutely love. I've owned dozens and dozens of them. But we've run into a little bit of an issue lately. In the last couple of years, the supply chain on these older Series 60s is under pressure because we're building so many gliders and we're keeping the old Series 60s, the very popular engine. It's getting harder and harder to find good quality parts like injectors and rebuild kits and things like that. So I'm also leaning towards the N14 and the 6NZ Cat. And this will change back and forth based on what the conditions are at any given point. I could be happy with any three of those engines. If I knew I could get parts, I would stick with the Series 60. My second choice for the type of operation I would run, which would be lighter freight, I would want to stay on the light end of things. My second choice would be the N14. It's inexpensive. It's drop-dead simple. And they're just about bulletproof, and we can get good fuel economy out of them. On the other hand,
I'm going to be doing a lot of reefers, so they tend to be a little bit on the heavier side. Would that be okay for something for that type of use?
It's still okay. The N14 will pull 80,000 pounds around all day long, all year long, and do it, you know, forever. But if I knew I was going to be on the heavier side of things, that would probably bump me to the 6NZ Cat instead. That is just a drop-dead, super-strong, very torquey engine. You'll never be disappointed with the performance, and we can still get good fuel economy out of them. So any of those three engines, I can be very happy with. Depending on the situation, might make me lean a little more towards one or the other, not a drop-dead must-have. If I find the right truck and it has any one of those three engines, I'm okay. Gear ratio is the least of my concerns because it's the easiest to change. So if I find the right truck, it's aerodynamic, it's got one of these three engines, it's really clean, I like the price, there's a lot of things pointing me towards that truck, I don't care if it has the worst gear ratio in the world. I'm going to buy it because for $3,000 or $4,000 I can change that. So if I could pick and choose, but again, this gets a little more complicated because the transmission and the speed you are going to drive plays into this. I like to drive 57 miles an hour. So all of
that would
my
drive me
gear
crazy.
Ratio choices. See, and that's why this is different. All of the gear ratio choices come down to how fast are we going to run. So at 57, if I had a truck with a 10 speed, I actually want either 370 gears or 390 gears, depending on the engine. If I had the Cat, I would go with the 370s. If I had the Detroit or the Cummins, I would go with the 390s. Now, if I have a 13-speed, I open up a whole new range of possibilities. I could go with 355s. I could go with 336s. I could go with 264s or 279s. So the gear ratio choice is – the least critical because we can change it. It's also the most complicated because all the other factors come down. It's the last thing I decide. After I have the truck picked out and the engine and where I'm going to drive it, what kind of freight I'm going to pull and how fast I'm going to go, the gear ratio choice is the last thing I decide because I want all the other factors worked out. But again, don't get too worried about it. Make sure that at some point you have the budget to make the change to the right gear ratio. You know, if we buy a truck and we have to keep the wrong gear ratio for 6 months, it's not going to kill us. You know, you save the money, right. You do it when you can. So I don't get too hung up about the gear ratio, even though it's really important. It's something I can change later.
I see. Okay. Okay, real good. Real good. And if you're say, going to, I'm looking at probably 62, 65 miles an hour on average, mostly East Coast.
Okay.
Not that I like East Coast, but the gentleman that I'm going to be leasing to, runs a lot of East Coast stuff, and seems to be paying pretty good, a little bit better right now. So,
got it. So
with that,
in that case, here's what I would look for. Again, if I found the right truck and it didn't have this, I'd be okay. But if I create my wish list, which is what I tell you to do, I would.
That's what I'm doing right now.
13. Yep, I would want a 13 speed with 355s.
Gotcha.
That will give you lots of flexibility.
I may buy this truck. I may be buying this truck now, but I'll remain with the company that I'm with right now until March when my lease is up. And in the meantime, the truck can be going through, you know, one end to the other while I'm still.
That is a perfect way to do this. I love that. So keep doing what you're doing and call me once in a while with a question. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rockford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rothberg. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to some phone calls. Let's get to the phones. John, welcome to the program. It's your turn.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to mention something about a guy he had called in on another show. He was talking about cash advances and all the complications with his accounting. I have a really easy suggestion for him. Probably the easiest suggestion in the world. Get your money in order and stop taking cash advances.
Yeah, you know, I probably should have thrown that in. That's good advice, and I was so focused on getting the accounting right. Yeah, you know, once you get that taken care of and you don't have to take a lot of cash advances, it will make life easier.
It really does. I'm a person, I refuse to pay ATM fees. I refuse to do cash advances. I refuse any of that. If I run out of money and I'm on the road, well, I guess I'm rolling nickels and dimes to go buy lunch or something. I figure it out. But
yeah.
I guess, you know, the last time I paid a cash advance or an ATM fee was 1989. I just refuse to do it. It's just the way I do business. But, you know,
there you go.
It is what it is. With that said and done, on to my actual question. Cranberries. In a ketogenic diet, how are we doing with cranberries? I'm making the assumption that that's a pretty low carb type fruit.
Yeah, you know, here's a really good way to know if something is high carb or sweet, high sugar, I should say, because carbs are a little mm-hmm. trickier, but high sugar is easy to detect. We have the perfect detection system, and we carry it around with us all the time. It's our tongue.
Our tongue.
If something
yeah,
tastes
yeah, yeah.
sweet, it is. When you eat a banana is sweet. Eat most pineapples on the market today, and they taste like candy. They're so sweet. Pop a cranberry in your mouth and tell me what it tastes like. There's no sugar
exactly. it's very
tart. At all. Yeah, so in fact, most people can't handle straight cranberry because it's so tart and they add a bunch of sugar to it. I did a really nice cranberry relish for Thanksgiving, and it's what a lot of people might call a cranberry sauce. I don't make mine real saucy. Mine has some texture to it, so it's more like a relish or a chutney. And it was very, very low sugar. I did put in some natural coconut sugar and a little bit of raw local honey, but it wasn't anywhere near what you would consider sweet. I put those in just to balance out the acidity a little bit, and I also simmered it in a kind of a dry red wine, and it made an amazing
okay.
cranberry chutney. And now that is really healthy because we're staying low in sugar. Cranberries have some pretty powerful antioxidants that you don't find in other foods. So if you can work cranberries into your diet and you can do it without a lot of added sweetener, they're very healthy.
So really, what I'm hearing from you, there would really be zero limit on how many cranberries you can eat. It's basically however much you can stomach.
Yeah, and know that there are carbs. There are carbs in all fruits and vegetables, and just make it a part of your daily allowance. Whatever you have found. For me, you know, my personal tolerance for carbs to stay ketogenic and stay feeling good and stay at the weight I want is 50 to 60 grams of carbs a day to maintain, and 20 to 30 grams of carbs if I want to lose any weight. If I drop to 20 or 30 grams of carbs, I'll start losing weight. If I stay at 50 to 60, I'll stay right where I am. So I would just, and I do eat cranberries, then I just make sure they fit in to my daily carb count. The other day, actually this week, a couple times, I've had sweet potatoes. Now, sweet potatoes are something you've got to be careful of. But
right.
I had it on a day where it was virtually my only carbs. So, you know, a big or a good-sized serving of sweet potato came in at you know, 40-some grams of carbs. That's it for the day for me. So, you know, it doesn't mean I won't eat them. I'll just make sure it fits in with my total carb count for the day.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Well, let me throw out something that I've been eating over the last couple of weeks now, and I feel better that it's not bad for me.
Good.
Basically, what we do is we take, Lori takes a bunch of cranberries, throws them in a pot with some simmering water, and just cooks them down. And it turns almost into like, you know, the same thing as applesauce. It's like cranberry sauce. But it's not, you know,
yeah.
cranberry sauce like out of a jar. And
right.
then I just take that and I mix that straight into my zero added sugar, really high fat.
Oh, that's
it
excellent.
Is phenomenal.
Oh yeah, that is like a superfood. You're getting all kinds of nutrients. You're getting the live cultures from the yogurt, the antioxidants from the cranberries. We have low sugar. So, you know, and I'll throw one more thing in here because what you described is how I start my chutney. I throw a couple other things in there. But instead of simmering it in water, simmer it in some red wine. It adds some depth, some complexity, and we get even more antioxidants out of some of the components of the red wine.
When you say some, what about a 12-ounce bag of cranberries to what, maybe a half a cup of wine?
Yeah, half a cup or less. It doesn't take a whole lot. Quarter to a half a cup is enough to simmer it and break it down just like you would in water. But you get a real deep, rich, complex flavor instead of the water.
You know, I love that idea because my thought process when you're cooking something, if wherever you need to add water, I always think of what else can I add instead of water because I want to bring flavor to the party. And that is an awesome way to bring flavor to the party.
Yeah, I very seldom ever use water. If I'm making soups, I'll always start with stocks and bone broths and wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night I did a really nice caramelized onion and mushroom sauce to go over steak, and I did that in red wine instead of water. It just adds more flavor and more complexity.
Well, I like the suggestion of the red wine, and I will definitely try that this weekend coming up, and I'll call back next week and let you know how it tastes in the yogurt.
Sounds great. We'll look forward to talking to you. I'm going to grab another call here real quick. Let's go to Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. Just wanted to give, I guess, a cautionary tale with a happy ending. Long-time listener, I became a local driver, and I got rid of satellite, stopped listening for a while. So thank you for doing the midday recordings, because that's how I got back into it. And that's probably what pushed me. Yeah, it's probably what pushed me into taking the plunge here this year and buying my first truck, a decab. And I think a lot of times when you are a longtime listener, with you being our cheerleader, you can get into the mindset that success is guaranteed and problems won't happen. And, you know, because we're so much smarter than everyone else, right? And but it's not exactly the case. You know, I let fellow owner operators doing basically the same thing I was doing as a company driver, you're going to make a pile of money. And of course, like you talk about, most of them really have no idea how much money they're making. And I sort of tried to put some of my own numbers together and thought, am I really going to make any money? This doesn't quite add up. And I did it anyway, because they said, and I wanted to be an owner operator, and it was easy because I could do what I was doing, no surprises there. And I guess it wasn't necessarily a bad move, just wasn't what I was expecting. And I listened to your advice on the truck, and I guess I would caution everybody that it's still an old truck and it will still nickel and dime you, but of course the worst that's going to happen is it'll blow up and we'll rebuild it and we'll have a great engine that'll last a million miles. Thankfully that didn't happen.
Really good stuff. Unfortunately, the clock snuck up on me. I would love to pick up this conversation on another show, so let's get you back on. I was looking at your numbers there, and it looks like you're doing pretty well, but I'd love to go through them with you. You make a great point. It is an old truck. Things are going to go wrong. Then we go fix them. Great stuff. Let's get you back on. I have to get out of here. So many questions, so little time. We'll see you back here next show. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next time.